everybody, and welcome to episode 145 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who was watching TV all day, waiting for President Trump to be inaugurated, Brian. Brian, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Ron. This is going to be magical. This Thursday, March 4th, the real inauguration day. It's going to be magical.
But it seems like it already came and went.
They just haven't showed it yet.
Okay. So you're saying the fake news is keeping the broadcast from going out there.
I can't keep the lie anymore, Ron. I don't even know what the fuck's going on with QAnon anymore. I mean, for the past 4 years, they've literally sat there and said, you know, that Trump is going to do all these things when he's in power. Not only did he do none of them, but now he's not even in power anymore. And yet you've got these people who just keep moving the goalposts further and further to try to maintain any sense of validity.
All right. Valid point. I hear you cracking open a beer over there. I think that can only mean one thing, Brian. It's time for Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Sláinte.
Prost. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of the
Ryan, week. What are you drinking this week, my friend?
We're starting off with a Matsurika.
What is that? I'm not familiar with that one.
Coming out of Japas Cervejaria, which is from Brazil. This is a Pilsner, which has been infused with jasmine petals.
Oh,
you know, as a very close friend once said to me, one of the highlights of Japanese cuisine is the tea. And one of the most delicate and flavorful Asian teas is made using jasmine petals, called Matsurika in Japan. We added these petals to a recipe of a Pilsner, a soft, delicate beer, bringing floral notes to the aroma and palate. Coming in an ABV of 5.0, served in 16-ounce cans, I'm about to take a sip.
All right. Let me see how you enjoy that. Another great description of the beer, as always. Kudos to you. Yeah, yes, no, maybe.
I'm not getting the jasmine.
No? Wow, that's just a beer of lies, then.
It tastes like a good Pilsner, I'm not going to lie, but the jasmine is not popping off. Like, I know that when I'm walking through Central Park on a warm, you know, summer afternoon, it's, you know, one of the things that I love is the aroma of jasmine throughout the park. And it's very overpowering, very overwhelming, so strong. Ron, what kind of beer are you drinking this week?
So, Brian, you know, it's getting to be my favorite time of year. It's getting to be springtime. It's ready for spring to have sprung, for the temperatures to get warmer. And that means I need to be a basic AF. And I'm doing that this week with a new beer from 21st Amendment Brewery. This is Hell or High Mango. Yes, they initially came out with Hell or High Watermelon. Now they've mixed it up, and they're putting mango in their beer for the seasonal release. Let me give this a sip.
I'm wondering why that beer makes you basic.
Because I feel like fruit beers are very basic these days.
Really?
Just my opinion.
I just fucking drank something with jasmine infused. I think I'm even. I trust your mango before my jasmine.
It's good. That's very tasty. You can definitely taste the mango if you are a fan of mango. This definitely has the flavor. Nice smooth beer. Only 4%, so it's very crushable. Nice beer to drink out on the deck when it's nice and warm out.
Well, I know you're enjoying it because that's the third sip you've taken in a very short period of time.
It is, yes. Not a beer usually gulped down, but this was a good one.
Ron, can I ask you a question?
Sure, Brian, you can.
What are your thoughts on beer?
I like beer, but I can't get the sound effect that quick.
God damn you!
You have to give me a little bit quicker time. You know, you have to give me a little head.
Ron, I expect you to come to the table every week ready, prepared.
I liked beer.
There you go. That's all I wanted. All I wanted was I like beer.
And also, as Janelle pointed out, yes, the whiteboard behind me is gone. It is just about fallen off the wall completely. And my wife just doesn't seem to care anymore. So we'll probably just ball that up and throw that away later.
Can you how firmly attached is it?
I mean, clearly it's not that firmly attached. It was just like adhesive on the back or maybe static cling or who knows.
Can you pull most of it off, right? Susan is the devil, and then put it back on?
I can try that later, yes. Maybe we'll do that after dark. Ooh, yes, after dark. That's right, because we haven't pushed our Patreon yet today. So go to RonandBrianPodcast.com, upper right-hand corner, click on Become a Patron, and if you join it bronze or higher, you get access to the live After Dark episode, which will take place at 9:30. In the meantime, we got to keep things rolling here with This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
racism.
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 Oh, Brian, too much racism again this week. Two full pages worth. So let's dig into this. We're going north of the border to Canada, where international law firm Gowling WLG is apologizing over a Black History Month post that seems to brag about an employee's child having a Black friend. In the post, the employee talks about meeting her daughter's friend Daniel. Quote, he was very nice and extremely polite. My grandmother would have said he was well brought up. Never during the course of her friendship with Daniel did my daughter mention he was Black. That night I went to sleep with the hope that one day race-based conflicts would forever be behind us. CEO Peter Lukasiewicz apologized for, quote, posts that do not accurately reflect our views. We've got police, as we seem to every week. We've got a few police stories. First one in Sterling Heights, Michigan. A police officer was placed on administrative leave after posting an image on Facebook of Derek Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck along with the text, "When you gotta change a tire, but don't want to get your trousers dirty." During the investigation, but prior to disciplinary action, the police officer resigned. The officer, who has not been named, was a 20-year veteran of the Sterling Heights Police Department. Going next to Florida, because we always have to have one Florida story. This is in Orange County. An Orange County sheriff's deputy was suspended after a civil rights group asked for an investigation into his Facebook post about Muslims. According to an administrative investigation report, Johnson, the detective in question, wrote in a February 2020 post that, quote, "Muslims are taking over America." He acknowledged to investigators that the post was offensive towards all Muslims. Investigators found that Johnson's Facebook page can be associated with his employment as a sheriff's deputy because he had also posted photos of himself dressed in his uniform. And then in Fort Worth, Texas, a police officer was fired over a racially insensitive social media post, the police department said Monday. The officer, Kelly Kujawski, was fired after an internal affairs investigation found that she was the source of the social media post, which was discovered by another officer on February 5th. A police statement did not go into detail about the post. This is the second Fort Worth police officer to be fired after Chadwick Hughes was fired back on February 9th after posting about race and crime, including a comment that read "Black at it again" under a photograph of a man robbing a convenience store.
The officer you just mentioned, Chadwick Hughes, wasn't he in Wakanda?
I think you're thinking of Chadwick Boseman.
Yes, you are correct. You're right.
All right. Going to Omaha this time. Omaha, Nebraska, and Creighton men's basketball coach Greg McDermott apologized Tuesday for racially insensitive comments he made to his players following a loss to Xavier last week. In a statement released on Twitter, McDermott acknowledged saying, "Guys, we got to stick together. We need both feet in. I need everybody to stay on the plantation. I can't have anybody leave the plantation." McDermott said that he offered to resign, but the team has opted to play out the remainder of the season with him on the sidelines.
Question.
Yes.
Why? Okay. I'm not asking you to get to transport yourself into this man's brain. But I don't even understand why he would refer to his team as a plantation.
It's an old expression, leaving the plantation, like trying
is
to
it keep really
together. It's a very old expression, but obviously you don't use plantation themes in this day and age.
If it's a very old term, then I understand why you got the reference and I didn't. I get that. That makes sense now.
As long as you get. In Newcastle, Oklahoma, a fight broke out between students from Newcastle High School and students from the predominantly black John Marshall High School after a playoff basketball game between the two schools. The fight was reportedly prompted by racial slurs and abuse committed by a white Newcastle student against players from the opposing team. The student who racially abused the visiting players has been disciplined, and the district is investigating which students moved down from the stands to join the fight once it began. Oklahoma City School District officials concluded that Newcastle students called the John Marshall team racial slurs throughout the game, while Newcastle employees were within earshot. No word yet as to what ramifications the employees might face.
There's no video of this, because I would watch that video. That sounds like there was ass whoopings on both sides.
Don't believe I have a video of that. Again, Brian, we have talked about this many weeks when you are teaching in Black History Month.
No,
thing
no,
you don't reference.
We are not talking about a school that reenacted slavery.
So in Purvis, Mississippi, a photo of a middle school teacher's writing assignment on slavery has drawn heavy criticism online, with many saying the exercise trivialized the racist institution. Students were asked to pretend like you are a slave working on a Mississippi plantation and write a letter to your family back in Africa or in another American state describing your life, according to the image of the assignment that was posted online. The assignment was widely panned online, with critics saying it ignored many of the facts of slavery and even suggesting slaves would have had the ability to write and send letters. Frank Bunnell, the principal of Purvis Middle School, has since apologized to parents. The teacher in question also posted a apology video online, which was also widely mocked.
And of course, you don't have that video lined up, do you?
That video I don't have either.
Damn it.
I have no
video. I would love to mock it.
Going to now Grosse Pointe Park, Michigan. A prosecutor has declined to file charges against a man who hung a KKK flag near a black woman's home. Jadonna Dinges said the Klan flag was hung in a window of her neighbor's home 2 weeks ago. The flag was placed so that she could clearly see the flag from outside of her dining room window, and Dinges already had prior concerns after finding a full gas can in her recycling bin. Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy said that while the conduct by the neighbor was horrible, an ethnic intimidation charge can't be filed because it would require physical contact, property damage, or a verbal threat. The flag was eventually taken down after cops entered the home and swapped the KKK flag with a large cloth. If you're asking why, city manager Nick Seislin told the Detroit Free Press that the neighbor's girlfriend told authorities that they put the flag up because they couldn't afford a curtain.
Sure. Perfect. What does the KKK flag look like? I don't think I've ever seen... I never thought that they would have a flag.
It's red with a white cross, and it, literally the one they put on the website said KKK on it. So I don't know if it's an official flag or just a flag that the guy saw and decided to buy for himself.
Well,
works better than a curtain, apparently.
Well, if you're telling me it's red, it's probably blocking a lot of the direct sunlight.
Are you familiar with that vegan teacher, Brian?
I have, she helped me walk away from meat about 3 years ago. You remember, I was eating meat maybe 4 or 5 nights a week, steaks, burgers, sausages,
anyway,
hot dogs.
I think you may
tacos
have with somebody else. This vegan teacher, she was actually banned from TikTok several weeks ago and was attempting a comeback on YouTube. Unfortunately, that attempt came in the form of a video in which she spells out the N-word on a piece of paper next to a black baby doll. The disgraced TikToker, whose real name is Katie Karen Dykemeyer, uploaded the 2-minute video titled, "Are You Racist?" on Tuesday, It opens on a shot of the doll, which she describes as a beautiful child. The point of Dykemeyer's video is to encourage viewers to, quote, ban cruelty, not words. She pans her camera across the doll to the page next to her, where she has written several descriptors for the doll. Does this girl seem to you like she might be naturally intelligent, gorgeous, generous, exemplary, and radiant, she asks. You can figure out what acronym those words spell in case you don't figure it out. She wrote the first letter of each word in a different color on the paper.
So she even admits that, like, her fans are stupid. That they wouldn't have even picked that up themselves.
Most people were asking in the comment section, quote, what the fuck is wrong with you? So that's the feedback she's getting.
Which is no different than usually, like, your you know, I send you a text every morning. That's usually, like, your response.
Anyway, finally today we're going out to Sacramento, California, where a high school teacher is under fire for making an anti-Asian gesture during a Zoom class last week. Nicole Burkett, a Spanish teacher and advisor for the class of 2022 at Grant Union High School, is shown on video intentionally narrowing her eyes during an online class. Quote, if your eyes go up, you're Chinese, Burkett said as she stretched her own eyes. If they go down, they're Japanese. If they're just straight, you don't know. Twin Rivers United School District spokesperson Zenobia Gerald called the video both shocking and disappointing, adding that the district has opened a probe into the situation.
Fucking stupid.
I have no words at times. With some of these people.
You know, I will say that it feels like this week's racism is less violent in nature than weeks we've had previously. This seems to be more of a insensitive. This seems to be more, you know, threatening type. But, you know, I'm not hearing stories about, you know, actual violence.
No, this was less on the violence, more on the ignorance and hatred.
America, we're slowly getting better. We just need to do it at a better clip.
All right. In the meantime, it's time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, what is bothering you today, my friend?
All right.
Take a breath. Find your center.
It's people that are running online to social media to post that they have been vaccinated. It is silly, and I find it insensitive to those that are not eligible to be vaccinated yet, that are sitting there and being reminded constantly on social media that they have received their first of second shots, maybe both, maybe they've got their second shot already. Maybe they're lucky enough to get the Johnson & Johnson, which is, you know, a one shot at a time. Though percentage-wise, it looks like it's less efficient than the other two, though it was being tested at a different time when there were no variants. I understand all that. But it's really getting fucking annoying that every time I open up social media, I have to look at some other person who's younger than me. And I'm not making this ageist, but I'm saying younger than me posting with their little vaccination card. It's like the new hip Gucci bag or the Louis Vuitton purse, where it's just like, oh, Dominic, if you actually believe that Johnson & Johnson alters your DNA, please no. But it is just it's the humble brag of 2021. And you know, considering that I went so long looking to get an appointment for my father, fortunately, thanks to dear friend Janelle, you know, friend of the podcast, friend of mine, friend of ours.
Yes.
She jumped online and found a appointment for my father literally within about 2 hours. Took me 3 months of failure, but we're not going to talk about my own insecurities or things that make me feel bad about myself. But It's just the incessant posting on social media of, oh, hey, you know, got vaccinated, you know, we're, you know, one step closer to, you know, like, you know, normalcy. Ugh, enough.
Yeah, you got that out of your system.
Meanwhile, there are still old people, elderly people who have an underlying health condition that are unable to, and I don't know how young people are getting fucking vaccinated.
Well, I would imagine that, you know, there are certain qualifiers in different states where people under 65 get vaccinated as well.
No, Ron, it's fraud. These people are lying. They're lying about it. They're faking letters. They're, I don't know. They're talking, you know, they know a nurse that does the vaccinations who's sneaking them in. You know, it's disgusting.
It's these back alley vaccinations that you've railed against for years.
That is my beef of this week.
All right, fair enough.
Ron?
Yes.
What's bothering you?
My beef this week, Brian, is dieting. I don't even know if I shared this with you. I have joined a weight loss study at Drexel University, trying to shave off a few pounds.
I heard that alters your DNA, the Drexel study. I heard that it alters your DNA.
It very well could have. So it is, you know, there's a series of Zoom meetings once a week, and it started this past Monday. I had my first Zoom meeting on Monday. And so their goal for us this week was, based on my weight, I needed to restrict myself to somewhere between 1,250 and 1,500 calories a day, which I will tell you is not a ton.
I don't know what that means. Because I can't visualize that. Like, how many cheesesteaks is that?
I mean, if you and I go out for a meal, it's typically a few thousand calories. Yeah. So it's taken a lot of planning. I've managed to do it so far. And so even with this beer, I'm still only up around 1,400 calories for the day. So kudos to me. But
hold on. No. Stop right there. You are on the path to a healthier lifestyle. And let's congratulations go. For that. You know, they always say that acknowledgement of the problem is the most important step to solving that problem.
That's right. And with the big 5-0 right around the bend for me, I gotta take a little better care of me.
I would love to take care of you.
Good question from Billy. How many calories do all the cooking oils add? I mean, you have to be careful. You do have to restrict how much oil you use when you're cooking, because those are just some wasted calories.
I have a question. If you use a cooking oil as lube while having anal sex, do those calories count?
I think you have to factor it in somehow, because I believe there probably is a little bit of an absorption.
There's going to be absorption. There's now I have a question for you.
Yes.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
This is your beef of the week. That's that my you joined beef. A study.
I'm very cranky because I'm not. I'm still adjusting to this lower calorie count. So I'm
got cranky. It. So, for instance, what did you take in today?
Today I'm around 1,380 calories.
Walk me through, what are those 1,300 calories? Where are you getting them from? What are you eating?
Oh, I had a Special K for breakfast with a couple cups of coffee. Okay. For lunch, I had a egg sandwich with some avocado and salsa. Had some cashews as a snack, and then for dinner it was strip steak and broccoli.
How did you cook the steak?
Well, you know, I got to use my sous vide for the steak, and then just cooked it in some butter.
I have a question for you. Are you doing any exercise to track the burning of the calories?
They have not added exercise into the program, although I have been more active this week than in previous weeks.
Now,
they do not want you to eat more calories because you're exercising.
Right.
So even though the app factors in the exercise calories, you still have to keep within that 1,250 to 1,500.
Now, are you waiving this requirements over the weekend?
I mean, Saturday, since I will be celebrating my birthday, I will probably stretch that. They said try, so I think that'll be one day that I try and don't quite keep into it, and then
back
to it on Saturday.
Nice.
All
right. I had no idea. I wish that you had told me about it. I would have supported you this week. I know that I gave you a lot of shit this week. This week I really I said a lot of negative things to you about you.
Was there anything in particular that you were negative towards me about?
Hold on. Let me see if I can think of something. There was one specific.
Sounds familiar. What exactly are you referring to?
Stonks.
All right, Brian, hit me. Go ahead.
The fuck? The fuck? Ron?
Yes.
This was the week that retail investors tanked.
Yes.
And what the issue I have, now clearly everything cannot always go up. There's ups and there's downs. However, every stock that you turned me onto over the past month, and keep in mind, I had made $1,000 off of your recommendations in the first month, January into February. We're not forgetting that. We're not pretending that didn't happen. However, in the past 2 weeks, I have given up that $1,000 and then some based on your recommendations. Why was I not told to sell? Why was I told hold while everybody around me is selling? Hold.
Well, basically, I mean, you know, if you sell, then yes, obviously you secure your losses right there. There was some significant. But if
you, stop, because I'm not done railing against you. Right, if fair. You know that the market trend is lower, you tell me to sell, and then buy at the dip, buy after it is done tanking. Instead, while everybody else is getting out and securing their sale here, I'm stuck holding 60,000 shares of Labor Smart down here. I bought Labor Smart at 4.25 cents. Literally the next day, it was about a penny and a half.
Well, again, that is still a stock I feel very strong about, and that was going to be a long hold to begin with. In the meantime, you know, there was a huge sell-off of small cap stocks today. Retail investors took a huge hit. A lot of uncertainty in the market with the economy, and Jerome Powell giving a speech about the economy did not help much. I will tell you this, Brian.
The opposite of helping. Yes.
If it makes you feel any better, I did not sell any of my stocks today. There are a number of stocks that.
No. That doesn't make me feel better that I'm following a madman. That's like you saying that you are the commander of a nuclear submarine. And you're like, by the way, I just want to let you know, I did not abandon my post, but I did ram my submarine into an iceberg.
Anyway, there are stocks that we are holding, all of us, you, me, and the Ron and Brian portfolio. There are stocks that we are holding that, you know, some that I were not going expected to go up until March, some that were not expected to go up till April, till July. So those we are still holding on. The Labor Smart is a very long hold. That's 6 months to 18 months. And yes, there are other stocks that I have less confidence in, but I feel they can rebound a bit. And I will let you know when I'm going to exit some of these stocks and hopefully lessen some of the loss.
Oh, tell Billy I've lost more than $900 this week. I think I've lost $1,000 between yesterday and today. And I know that you're going to come back to me with that horseshit, bullshit, fucking shit answer of, well, you didn't actually, you know, like if you didn't sell, you don't actually have any real losses. All you're talking about is theoretical value. And when the stock goes back up, you're still going to have the same number of shares you had.
I feel your pain, Brian. My portfolio has taken a beating over the last couple of weeks as well. But, you know, it's a learning experience for all of us. I think some of them will rebound. I think some we can stem our losses on. And at the end of the day, I think we will still be up by the time the next few months roll by.
did you just hit me with a version of Teachable Moment? Because that's, I swore I heard a learning experience, which we know is a tangent of Teachable Moment.
Teachable Moment, Brian. Teachable Moment.
God damn you.
Listen, I'm not happy either. That was my vacation fund, and clearly there will be no vacation anytime soon. And I feel for you because I want to please you, Brian. It's what I live for. It's why I do this podcast. In the meantime, what else? What other stories do we have this week,
Ron?
Wait a minute. Do I need to retire the theme song?
Stonks. Stonk Daddy, you do not retire that song. We are not quitters.
All right.
And we may sell a stock, buy the dip, come back into it. We are not quitters. Ron, let me ask you a question. What are you watching?
What am I watching? To be perfectly honest, I really didn't watch a lot this past week. I am prepping for the final episode of WandaVision to drop tomorrow. But that's about it. Ryan, more importantly, what are you watching?
Okay. I watched episode 2 of Woody versus Mia on HBO this past week. Comes out one episode every Sunday night.
Right.
This week, this was the hit piece on Soon-Yi. Not Soon-Yi, as many of you uncultured heathens. You know, Ron, you're the kind of person that would pronounce Soon-Yi while taking your eyes and raising them up. Because a teacher in Texas said that that's what Koreans are. No, we are not.
Okay.
This was the episode of Who is Soon-Yi, which is the correct pronunciation according to Mia Farrow. Soon-Yi. So this was the piece of who is this girl? What is her story? What is her life? What was she like as a child growing up? When did she start banging Woody? What are the allegations? What is her part that she has played in this so painful love triangle that existed between mother, daughter, and the man that fucked both of them? It was clearly Soon-Yi has no presence in this herself. So this is all coming from the perspective of Mia. It felt tacky. Felt wrong because this is clearly a show told with from the cooperation of Mia Farrow. And as a mother, it really felt that it felt like a mother should not have been participating in a hit piece on her daughter. Say what you want to say about her feelings towards Woody. I actually feel in many cases she's right on this one. You know, you just don't bang your girlfriend's daughter, regardless of whether you are in a parental viewing role, whatnot. But it's just kind of gross. But this felt like a hit piece on Soon-Yi, and I did not feel comfortable about it. That's the first thing I watched. Second thing I watched, Billy and I watched Coming to America. Because Coming to America 2 is coming out this very weekend.
Correct.
On Amazon Prime. I will announce, Coming to America, the first one, holds up amazingly and is still an incredible movie.
Just a classic.
Oh, so well done. Lastly is something I watched, I forgot, I think it was Tuesday night. I don't remember. The days are just sliding into each other like a Thai prostitute. I watched a documentary on Amazon that came out in 2019 called Ringmaster. Have you heard of this one, Ron?
Ringmaster. It sounds familiar.
Ringmaster. Amazon describes it as an aging chef from Minnesota has his life turned upside down when a relentless filmmaker from Las Vegas tries to make the chef's onion rings world famous.
Interesting. Now that you've mentioned it, I have not seen it.
Okay. It is the story of there's a guy in Southwest Minnesota, bumfuck, middle of nowhere, just Trump country. And he has a family recipe for the best onion rings you will ever eat. His family owned a restaurant that specialized in like steaks and whatnot, but the onion rings is what people drove, you know, miles and hours to experience. The family loses the restaurant, and the son, now keeping the family's recipe going, takes a job working in a kitchen of this small little pub grill type place where all he does is make onion rings.
Okay.
So he's in a kitchen. There's a full kitchen staff over there. He's got this little station. He brings the breading recipe. He literally mixes it at home and brings it to work in paper bags. So nobody knows what his recipe is for onion rings. The man is also quite possibly incredibly autistic. Like, as you're talking to him, you know, you realize this guy's on the spectrum. So there is a filmmaker from Las Vegas who is a recovering gambling addict who hears about these onion rings and says, I'm going to make a movie about the world's greatest onion rings. So he goes to Minnesota. He's watching he starts his documentary, and he realizes that the story is not compelling enough for this movie to go big. So he decides to take it upon himself to promote the onion rings. So the first thing he does is he hooks up with NASCAR, the driving people where they just go around in a loop. Yeah. So he hooks up with them where there is a track that's opening up, and he's going to make the onion rings the central concession snack at that racetrack.
Real quick, would it be quicker to just play the documentary? Sorry.
Go fuck yourself, Ron. Go fuck yourself in your asshole. Fuck yourself so hard in your asshole.
Anyway, I will make a long story short, which is that doesn't go well. So then the filmmaker, because he's just increasingly desperate to have a successful movie, he convinces a restaurant in Las Vegas to do an onion ring tasting so that they can become the official concession snack for the new Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
I'm going to spoil it because I don't really give a fuck. So he flies out the onion guy, the ringmaster, if you would, who has a literal meltdown in the restaurant to the point where he becomes so disoriented and detached from reality that he doesn't understand where he is. At one point, he's crawling around on his hands and knees in the kitchen. Like, he doesn't know how to cut onions. He forgets what the... Like, it is amazing. So the last 30 minutes of it is just watching this guy literally have no... he's utterly detached from reality. Well worth it.
All right.
Skip the first hour. There's no reason for you to go through all of that. Watch the last half an hour. Make yourself feel better that no matter how bad and shitty your day is going, you're better off than this guy.
Now, we did not watch this when it aired initially on TV, but we certainly checked it out today. Shaquille O'Neal making his appearance on AEW Wrestling on TNT last night. Obviously, Shaq already working for TNT for their NBA coverage, decided to make an appearance and was in a mixed tag team match with Cody Rhodes, and ended up going through a table. We actually have a quick little bit of video here that will show the bump that Shaq took.
Stop. Don't show YouTube videos. Do not show YouTube videos.
Oh my God. Good God almighty. The tables are everywhere.
So, yeah, that was... and then for some reason, he ended up in an ambulance and then he disappeared when they looked in the ambulance. I will say this,
isn't that the ending of Halloween 7?
Yeah.
When they crashed the ambulance and then when they opened up, Michael's not in there.
for not being a pro wrestler, he had a pretty solid power bomb that he did, but and then took the bump through the table. Brian, your thoughts on Shaq entering the world of pro wrestling?
I don't have any thoughts. I don't know what he's doing. It, you know what it is? It feels like, and I think it's an insult to wrestlers that, you know, they spend so many hours of their life honing their craft, becoming professionals, you know, putting their physical safety on the line day in, day out for not many rewards. You know, the people making money is, you know, the top 1%. And then suddenly you get a retired basketball player who, you know, does car commercials with the General. And suddenly he's like, oh, yeah, I can do that. You know, I'll show up, you know, I'll toss me out of the rink and I'll go home. It feels like it's insulting. If it's like Jeremy, what was that guy's name? Not Jeremy Remmer.
David Arquette.
No, who's the Jeremy Previn? Not Previn. What's who's the guy on Entourage?
Jeremy Previn.
Yeah, he just decided he was going to become a stand-up comedian last year.
I thought you were talking about David Arquette when he actually became a world champion in WCW.
But did you watch the David Arquette documentary on Amazon?
I'm the one who told you about the David Arquette documentary.
Well, fuck me.
But yes, if you have not seen, you cannot destroy David Arquette on Apple TV or where else you can find it now.
That was good.
Really good. Really good documentary.
Yes. Now, is there anything coming out this week you plan on watching?
I too plan on catching Coming to America. That looks interesting to me.
Would you like to watch it on Monday?
We'll see. We'll see how the
Will you be too busy counting your cashews?
Maybe, you know, it'll be Monday. Actually, Monday night, I have another Zoom meeting for my weight loss thing. So,
all right. Is there any way that you can broadcast that as like a Patreon after dark?
It's supposed to be. It's a group session, so it is supposed to be private, Brian.
Can you leak out somehow the Zoom login?
I feel like that would be wrong.
Would it be wrong if I showed up and I just ate the entire time? Like I just sat there eating Doritos and Cheese Whiz.
As much as I would enjoy it, I feel the rest of the group might have an issue with that.
Yeah, I can see that. That would be a kind of a dick thing to do.
What else we have here? We've got Governor Andrew Cuomo, as you
that's my governor. You're talking about my governor here. I'm going to get defensive.
Gave kind of a non-apology for the multiple sexual harassment claims that have been put against him.
It felt like it was an apology. It didn't seem like it was a sincere apology. And Lord knows it didn't sound as if he was going to take any corrective action. But it felt like he was sorry that he made people uncomfortable. But he also denied that he did anything intentionally to make people uncomfortable.
I like how he kind of blamed his dad. He's like, you know, I watched my dad do it when he was governor. And, you know, as governor, you want to touch people. And I'm like, that's really not what governors are elected to do. But
listen, our president touches people. We know that. Remember sniffing Joe?
Sleepy Joe likes to get a good whiff of some hair. And now he's got, was the Charlotte Bennett, I think has an interview that, is going to be airing this evening talking about how Governor Cuomo, groomed her for sex, she says, and, her lawyer says derailed, her career.
Yeah.
Where do you think this ends up, Brian? Do you think it actually ever gets to the point that, Cuomo would resign?
No. I think that there has to be some, I think he's going to be, what's the word when you cut off somebody's, he's going to be gelded.
Okay.
They've already taken away his emergency powers.
Did they understand that? Because I know they had talked about taking them away.
And I thought they did.
Additional about that.
I thought they did. I woke up this morning, things just didn't feel right. So I think they did that overnight. There has to be some build up to a critical mass. Right now, you've got, you know, he said things that made me feel uncomfortable. That's not going to get Cuomo to resign. There has to be some allegation of a physical assault. If that happens, he's a goner. What is most likely going to happen is that he is going to have his power continually chipped away at, to the point where there is going to be a strong contender next time there's a governor.
Well, that would be my next question. You know, do you think he runs again, or do you think he steps aside?
If this thing is only, if this thing stops at three women who say he made me feel uncomfortable, I'd be very surprised if this has any long-lasting damage on his ability for reelection. There are so many people downstate in New York, which is a term I learned over the past year thanks to COVID. There are so many people downstate in a very strong Democratic area that they kind of control who is going to be elected governor. I'd be hard-pressed that a challenger steps in and is going to capture that crowd.
All right. And you are correct. The New York Assembly and State Senate actually struck a deal on Tuesday to strip Cuomo of his emergency powers. Any executive actions critical to public health will remain in effect. And then there are other temporary emergency powers that will expire on April 30th.
Yeah. Homeboy's got his nuts knocked off.
He did.
It's all right. He deserved it. No offense. But and I'll tell you, I think he crossed that line by publishing a book in the middle of a pandemic, patting himself on the back for what a great job he did during the pandemic. That's still going on.
And this is the thing. If you're not familiar with New York, he's always been a horrible person. It's not like, you know, he does some good things during the pandemic and everyone's like, oh, he's so great. He's always been a thug and a bully.
But he was always our terrible person.
So you're worried that the country might take him away from you?
No, I'm totally fine with it. It is what it is.
All right.
Yeah. I think more concerning to me than, you know, what is going to happen to him is, did we ever get an answer as to whether he has his nipples pierced or not?
I feel that's a question that has never been definitively answered.
Because there's that one photo that he took. He didn't take the photo. It'd be kind of creepy. That's actually an Anthony Weiner reference of taking photos. But there is that famous photo from one of his pandemic news conferences. I think it was over the summer, where he was wearing a white polo shirt that for some reason, obviously, there was no, he wasn't wearing a shirt underneath, wasn't going undershirt, but the shirt was pressed up close against him to the point where it was, it raised a lot of questions as to whether this guy had nipple piercings or not, which I think is a little odd for a 60-year-old male.
I mean, once you get them done, I mean, are you really going to have them reversed? And I think this might be the photo that you're referring to.
Yeah,
and definitely.
Is there any way you can zoom in on those nipples? Because I want to see those male nipples. Show me that. Oh yeah, baby. Oh yeah, baby. Show daddy. Oh yeah.
If they're not pierced, there's something going on there.
That's not a normal nipple.
That's something that medical science cannot yet address.
Do you think he's shaving his chest?
Probably. I mean, he's probably getting a little wax, I think.
It bothers me that when you see guys who are wearing shirts like that and they don't even have like a hint of hair coming up. I'm not talking about like a fucking sweater or something, but if I wear like a V-neck shirt or whatnot, you're going to see like four hairs like in this general region that infuriate me, which is why I like a nice tight.
I was going to say, do you even own V-neck shirts? You don't strike me as the kind of man that would have a V-neck shirt in your wardrobe.
Ron, when it's Saturday night and I'm going out clubbing, oh, I'm wearing a deep V for the ladies.
All right. Fair enough. What else do we have? Oh, Chris D'Elia, speaking of sexual allegations, a new lawsuit accuses comedian Chris D'Elia of soliciting over 100 sexually explicit photos and videos from a woman identified as Jane Doe, half of which were allegedly taken when she was only 17 years old. Doe, who is accusing D'Elia of violating federal child porn and child sexual exploitation laws, is one of a number of women who have accused D'Elia of preying on them when they were only teenagers. So this is about a year after, it was right around this time last year, I think that a number of women took to Twitter to accuse him of sexual harassment and grooming, yeah, and sexual assault. I mean, literally... and it blew up to the point where literally hundreds of women were repeating stories of negative experiences they had with him.
Yeah, it's I think he needs to be canceled. You know, because here's an example where he knew that. Now, keep in mind, the age of consent in the state that she lived in was 16.
Okay.
Not defending him. I'm saying that what he was doing, but a grown ass man telling a 17-year-old that she needs to send him naked photos and videos. There were videos, people. Or he would cut off all communication with her. That's not an adult that we need to continue to celebrate.
No. And again, just, the fact that he's still even that he hasn't been completely canceled since last year is a little bit surprising. Now, again, he's had no comedy clubs or anything to be able to go here in, but it's not like, I don't know. And it still seems kind of weird because he was in the second season of that Netflix show, You, where he literally played that character. He was a famous person that preyed on underage women.
Yes. Yes, ironically, which is why he was so good in that role.
Yeah, should have maybe gotten an Emmy for that.
Good. Well, I don't know about that. Let's not give. Really, you want to give an award to a child predator?
No, I don't. This is a sad story to cover towards the end here. 7 college students died and 4 were injured during a tragic incident in Bolivia when a railing collapsed, sending them falling from a 4th-floor balcony. We can pull this video up real quick here, if you give me just a moment. It just says Andrew Cuomo nipples on my screen, which just feels wrong.
I hope that at some point your wife looks at your computer and just types in search and sees her search history that you're looking up Cuomo's nipples. Okay. Now, the trick here is to look at the young girl who is in the center with her phone up. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Now, this is, I believe, on the 4th story.
Yes. So the railing gives away, and they literally fall about 4 stories.
What I don't understand is why everybody was on this one layer or level or floor, and nobody was on any lower floor.
That I'm not sure. All I can tell you is this was in the university's financial sciences building. Students were attempting to enter a lecture hall for an assembly. So perhaps maybe that's why they were all on that level, trying to all get into the same lecture hall.
Where's the social distancing, Ron? Where is the social distance?
Clearly not happening. In the footage, you know.
Where is the social distancing, Ron? Where is the social distancing?
In the footage, it also showed one young woman pushing another near the railing moments before it collapsed. And so apparently Bolivian police are now looking for this woman to question as part of the investigation. I think maybe, again, it shouldn't be a case of if you push somebody into a railing, the entire railing, you know, collapses and people fall to their death. Like,
yeah,
seems like maybe trying to come up with a scapegoat here.
That's a jump. That's a jump in logic that I can't support.
And then we lost a couple of people this week. I don't know if you could call it necessary celebrity obituaries, but people of note obituaries, especially
you're reaching here.
mobster Peter Gotti, the one-time Gambino crime boss and successor to John Gotti, died in North Carolina, where he was serving time in a federal prison. He was 81 years old after having been sentenced to 25 years in jail back in 2003 on racketeering and other charges. Serving 17 years, recently been seeking an early release because of his poor health. Are there any of the Gottis left there in New York, Brian?
Irv, remember record producer Irv Gotti?
Yep.
Him and Ja Rule, they ruled the airwaves in the early 90s.
There you go. And also losing NFL veteran and CBS legend Irv Cross, passing away at the age of 81. He was a key member of the NFL Today and CBS Sports for more than two decades, passing away this Sunday near his home in Roseville, Minnesota. He had been diagnosed with mild cognitive dementia 2 years ago and apparently had said that he's going to donate his brain to Boston University so researchers can study it for CTE, the brain disease that has plagued many former NFL players.
Now, you said he was in southern Minnesota?
Roseville, Minnesota.
Do you think he ever had onion rings?
I would assume he's had an onion ring or two in his life.
I'm not saying nothing, but I'm kind of saying something.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. In the grand schemes of celebrity deaths, no offense to to Mr. Gotti, who I have the utmost respect for, Peter Gotti and your family, please do not kill me. But let's be honest. This was one of the weaker celebrity deaths that we've had this week, this year. You know, the week was not strong. Nobody was on the scoreboard. First place remains in safe hands.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
How are you so good at it, if I may ask?
You know, I think
you are consistently at the top.
It's a mix of skill and luck. Probably more now, than anything else.
Now, is there any way that you can take that skill and luck and apply that to the stock market?
Oof. I will certainly try. I know you're very upset about
this. I will say this. 2 weeks ago, you and I were up $1,000.
It was the day
today. Today we crossed a line where we are now losing.
We are below our initial cash layout, and it hurts. It hurts my pride. It hurts me to say that.
I do believe you told me that I could kick you in the ass.
No, I said you could kick me in the nuts if we weren't at a 50% return by the end of this week.
I would have accepted the kick in the ass over the kick in the nuts, but it sounds like you really want to get kicked in the nuts. And if that is your birthday present that you are asking for from me, I will indulge you this weekend, and I will stomp your nuts exactly the way you like it, the way you want it, because you've been a bad boy, been a naughty boy, and you need to pay for it.
That's fair. I do, especially after these last couple of weeks of stuff.
Oh, they've been terrible. This has been terrible 2 weeks. Like every day, it's just like.
Anyway,
anything I want else my this money week? Back.
Or should we wrap this one up early and have a little extra time to prep for After Dark?
Can do that. We can do that. I feel like we need to put an hour in. I feel like we haven't given it all we've got. Can we talk one more thing?
Whatever you would like to talk about, I'm here for you.
This is something you and I have not discussed this week, but I actually feel it's somewhat timely as part of this country is, you know, in terms of the pandemic. We haven't spoken a lot about coronavirus, and it dominated the shows we had before the winter. But this past week, we made a huge progress. A third vaccine was approved by the FDA, one shot, with big difference from the previous two, the Moderna and the Pfizer, which are two-shot vaccines. The Johnson & Johnson was approved, one shot, and you're completely vaccinated-ish.
Ish.
And basically what it said is that it is 100% protection from hospitalization and death. It will not 100% protect you from catching coronavirus, but you won't get it and it won't be serious.
But it will lessen the symptoms significantly.
Yes, absolutely. And what they're saying is if you have the opportunity to get Johnson & Johnson, absolutely get it.
Right.
However, as a result of now there being three approved vaccines on the market, as a result of nationwide cratering of positive testing cases, of hospitalizations, cratering of deaths, a lot of people are talking about reopening.
There has been different
levels. Here in New York, we've had our indoor dining in New York City. I can speak. We've had indoor dining increase from 25% to 35%. We've just recently got the go ahead that sporting events will now have a 10% capacity of in-person attendance being allowed. None of that existed in 2020. Entertainment venues are now going to be able to be opened up depending on the size of the capacity, up to 50%. Attendees will still need to be socially distanced, wearing masks, because we care. That is what New York has started to do in terms of its reopening. Texas. Slightly different approach.
A little bit more aggressive.
They announced this week that they are just tossing aside next week any requirements for wearing a mask. Everything is just open, ready for business. Ron, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, not everything is open for business in Texas. Surprisingly enough, everything is open in Texas with the exception of tours of the governor's mansion. Those still will remain shut down at this time. So I guess Texas is like 99.9% open.
So you're telling me that the entire state is open for anything, but for some reason, the home where the governor lives that is considered a tourist attraction, where there have historically always been made available to the public, that's not allowed?
That is not open as of this show. They have not posted that they will be opening on Monday.
And did they give a reason why they're not open?
They have not. Many people have emailed asking that question. They have provided no reasoning whatsoever.
Sounds hypocritical to me.
Listen, I can see in certain areas wanting to reopen. I think the challenge in Texas is it still has, you know, they still have high case numbers. They still have ICUs that are overloaded. They are
They have the lowest vaccination percentage in the country.
They do. And what is also shocking to me is that on March 1st, the city of Houston announced that they have tracked every single variant of COVID-19 is in Houston. Whether it's the South African variant, UK, New York, any variant of COVID-19 that is out there has been tracked in the city of Houston. And yet the next day, the governor reopens the entire state. So again, I think we can definitely get to the point where we can start reopening things. As you mentioned, people that are vaccinated, even if the vaccine isn't 100% safe as far as being able to catch COVID, it has shown 100% to reduce symptoms and reduce fatalities.
You got your first shot, correct?
I got my first shot, and I will get my second shot next Saturday.
Will you be changing your life habits in any way?
I prefer being a hermit, so I will stay indoors until further notice.
Okay. You silly goose, I will come to you.
There you go.
Don't have to leave your house. I will come to you. Because your company, I crave to hold you in my arms.
I mean, I haven't even had a cold in the last year. So, I mean, I think that's, that's enough reason to try and be a little bit more safe in general.
Right. All right. Interesting. Yeah. What is
Texas reopening?
I think that it's a dangerous mindset that they have down there. They've had it for a long time. They've had levels of openness that I've not been comfortable with during a pandemic. I think they're doing this way too early, way too. But I also know that in New York, I think we've been overly cautious, and I'm used to that. I think New York City, we lost indoor dining for no reason a couple months ago, simply because people were celebrating Thanksgiving and Christmas. So therefore, we lost the ability to eat indoors. It didn't make sense. Broadway is still not open, and you know how much I love going to Broadway shows.
That's true. I think there can be a happy medium that you can find between Texas and New York.
Yes. Yeah. I can honestly say that I live in the most regulated area of this country right now. And I have for the past year. I will say that we are coming on very soon to my 1 year anniversary when my body was ravaged by the coronavirus. And at the same time, as I was feeling weaker and weaker each day, I could feel the inner glow of the antibodies, the naturally
acquired
antibodies. So I feel like a week from now, we should do some type of celebration for my 1 year anniversary.
And you still have the antibodies a year later because you just donated your plasma the other week.
I just donated plasma. I'm waiting for the confirmation that I still have strong antibodies.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed. Full hearts. All right. Anything else this week except plugging the website, ronandbrianpodcast.com. You can go there. You'll find our web store. You'll find links to all of our social media. And more importantly, the link to join our Patreon. So that way, if you want, you can join Ron and Brian After Dark every Thursday night at 9:30. We're gearing up for that as we speak.
Now, if you sign up for our Patreon, Ron, what do you get? What are the benefits of it?
I mean, depending on what level you sign up for, you can also get...
There are levels, Ron. Tell me more about this.
Flag. You can get stickers. You can get magnets. You can get baseball caps. You can get coffee mugs. You can get sweatshirts. I mean, there is just there is a plethora of items available to you. So just go check out ronandbrianpodcast.com. In the meantime,
but most importantly, you get access to what Ron and I are about to do in 23 minutes. Every Thursday after the show, we do a special 30, 40, 1 hour. I mean, we do, however long we have to go. And it's behind the paywall. You will never get to enjoy the extra content that we are doing. If you don't crack open the wallet a little bit, you can join us for $5. If you join us for 10 or more per month, you can actually watch us live. A lot of our friends that are, friends of the show, they are, they're gearing up for 22 minutes from now, and they're going to watch After Dark. And After Dark, we like to save some, how do I say this? The more salacious.
The saucy stories.
I'll tell you right now, and I don't think I'm going to give away. I mean, Ron, if you're going to get mad at me, I apologize in advance. We have three different stories of people having their penises cut off. Three! We're going to talk about all of them. I may talk about the time I had my penis cut off.
I was hoping you would. I've been waiting for that story.
Detachable penis.
Anything else for this week, Brian? Are you ready to roll on out of here?
I'm ready to roll on out of here.
All right. Thank you for joining us, everybody. For all of our regular listeners, we will be back again next Thursday at 8 p.m. For our After Dark folks, we will be seeing you momentarily.